good time to be alive. It's a good time to be in the path or in that whatever God has for us, you know. I'm just looking forward to just see the continuation of things to come. And many good things. Do you believe that? Many good things are yet to come. How do we want to get into this? Last week and the last couple of weeks we've been sharing a little bit on obedience and things, and we got kind of tied into it a little bit last week and got about halfway through it. And I want to just touch upon it again a little bit today so that you can remember it. You know, many times, at one time, I was thinking like, well, how far back did I, where did I make it last week? And I thought, I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to start where I think I was at. And if it's a repeat, guess what? You probably need to hear it again, or I do. So we'll just hear what God has to say. But I think we're going to start into the areas of we obey him. And so anyway, we're going to look at this area of obedience. I see it in myself. And it's just God talking to me, okay? You guys, unless he's personally speaking to you, okay, about obedience, then this applies to you too. But if it's for nothing else, it's for Tim. And so as I continue to look at that, continue to think about it, continue to meditate on it, throughout even the last few weeks, I just find out there must be something pressing in the areas of obedience with God has for us, for God to have with his church, his bride. And so, you know, to talks about the church being his bride. If we were thinking of this in the natural, getting ready to be married and all, there's a lot of preparations. There's a lot of things that the groom doesn't really do. It's the bride, really. They do all the work, you know, because they want it a nice wedding. They want, and the parents or whatever gets involved in it. But they want it to be just really nice. But, you know, it's really the bride. And they want it to come off well. And they're making it's a big change in their life. That's what it is. You know, when you take those vows and you become married, it's like a whole shift of your life goes this way now. Now you're in that realm of making your life. And so as I look at that with Christ, when he came into my life, there was some major shifting going on, major things that had to be changed. And, you know, to this day, even after all these years, would you believe it? They're still changing. Has anybody else already stopped changing? Like, are you good to go where you're at with God right now? Or do you desire to say, I got to go further? I need a little more of him, okay? Because there's still just a little bit too much Tim in Tim. And that could be a problem. If you've got too much of yourself still in you, there's a problem with that relationship with that of God. Because he wants us to love him with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all our strength, all our mind, everything. He just wants us totally for himself. And we have a hard time sometimes understanding all of that, and we always want to try to maintain a little bit for ourselves. It's just like, you know, the cookie jar and the fine, you know, putting money in the cookie jar for, I always want to stash just a little bit away for me, you know, type thing. Thinking of finances, could be for snacks, you know. Anybody out there a snacker? You know, you got kids, and you go, well, I got a box of 12. If my kids see it, they'll eat them all, so I'm going to take two and just sign them over there for me, you know, just for me. We are like that. We are, I think, man, woman, we're kind of like that. It's like something good. I still want to just keep a little bit for that for myself. Well, in our lives, I think we want to do a little bit of that ourselves, keeping a little bit of us to ourselves. When we get into things, that we find out that really what God wants is all of us. And, you know, if I'm talking to myself, and if I'm really thinking in the right mindset, I'm saying, you know what, God, I think I would do better if I had all of you in me and less of me in me, because I think I'll go a whole lot further and be able to handle things a whole lot differently for the good, really. It would be for the good, because he would give me the peace. He would give me the strength. He would take away the anxiety. He would take away the pressure. He would take away the worry. He would take away, the, you know, all these things that makes us all going in what we do in life. So we obey him. Obey him. Way back, I talked about obedience, and we'll touch upon that. Remember that. Obedience talks about the word signifies attentive hearing to listen with a compliant submission, assent, and agreement. It is used for obedience in general, for obedience to God's commands, and for Christ's obedience. And we're going to look at a little bit of that because If we look at Christ as our example, we truly see Christ showing how to be obedient, doesn't he? You know, talk about true obedience. My. But we obey him because his love compels us. John, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. If we can look at that and think about that, how can you love him? Well, he first loved me where I was at. He loved me in my sin. He didn't love the sin I was in, but he loved me past that sin because he knew what was in me, because he has put himself in us all. Amen. We got a little bit of God's DNA in all of us. As he breathed into the lungs of man, we find out that, you know, possibly with little droplets and things like that, if, you know, if God had droplets going into there, DNA, all that, you know, we found that in science today, how prevalent DNA is in so many things, and little droplet of saliva, of fluid, of blood, or whatever, and it tells you everything about that person, where they've come from, background, ancestry, and all this. So I think when God breathed it into man, we come to be born to where we've got something of God imprinted in us, but we have to find it. God knows where it's at. He's put his spirit within us, but then it died through that of the garden, okay? And then man's spirit dies, and we get Jesus Christ, we're born again, our spirit man comes alive, and we're reborn. And then our spirits begin to reconnect. It's like, you know, it's kind of like how, has anybody ever, probably, looking at the crowd here, we got a lot of very senior people, no, even young people have it nowadays, knee replacements or knee problems or anything replaced, and they do some cutting and all that, and they will tell you, and I just learned this, you know, with even going through our lives here, that the doctor would tell my wife, like, eventually what will happen is this nerve here is missing this connection over here, but through the body mending and healing itself, all of a sudden that nerve path begins to, it's over here, it's missing. All of a sudden it starts getting closer, it goes bink, those nerves reconnect again. I kind of look at that, maybe it's like a God. God has put himself in us, it's just that we don't have the connection to him yet. And it's like our tendon, it's like our ligament, it's like that nerve ending. All of a sudden as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the spirit man is born again, and all of a sudden that nerve within us, if we want to look at it that way, begins to start lining up, and all of a sudden what God was shooting up this way and my life was this way, and you could tell them they weren't the same, all of a sudden I become born again, I receive Christ, it's getting closer, all of a sudden maybe we get into that level to where all of a sudden I'm sensing the nerve of God. Have you ever sensed the nerve of God in your life? To where it picks up and it connects to you, to where once that nerve connects to him, you begin to go, there's something to this. There's something more to God than just reading the Bible or having the Bible on the coffee table for everybody to see, you know. There is a something relationship building that takes place with me and my God after Christ comes in. And when that happens, that's well and good, but as we get into this journey for some time, we need to begin to look at it to say, I need to change, and I need to change now. Or I need to change more. I need to change continually to get that nerve with him even more connected so that, you know, I've said this over and over and over, and this is something that just sticks in the back of my mind, that I don't want my God to have to speak to me to tell me to do something. I want that relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father to where in the Spirit, if I'm just looking at his eyes and I can tell by his eyes what he wants me to do, that's a connection that it's just like, you know, telepathic, you know, which God could speak into our minds, okay, our spiritual minds, but that he doesn't have to say, Tim, do this. I look and I see his eyes and I go, that's what you want me to do, okay, I'll go, I'll do, I'll turn, I'll left, I'll go, I'll stop, I'll do, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking forward to that time when I get even closer to him where that really happens, to where I can sense that by just his facial expressions, because I know parents make a facial expression at your children, and you can control your kids generally by your facial expression. Eyes up, stop doing it. You know, a smile, your child says, oh, he's happy with me. You know, a growl, child says, ooh, shouldn't do that again. Okay, Dad. But God is love. And how does our obedience start with all this? It's because he first loved us. See, with obedience, we touched upon that last week, to where we will be obedient not because of what we get, because of instant gratification, because it's something that we'll benefit from. We are obedient because it's something that we just need to be. Be obedient to the things of God. I know in our world, we always want to look at those things to say, well, I will do this if there's something of a payoff for me. But I've already said, and you already know, that God doesn't need to do any more for Tim. With Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior coming to save me, build that relationship back, his righteousness in me, took care of my filthy rags, what more do I need? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But there is more. There's much more that God has for us. And I would say that God would say, you know what? It's good that you received my Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, but don't stop there. For really, the journey is just what? Beginning. Now that we are alive again spiritually, and we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're beginning to really sense and hear that of what God is speaking to us, to be able to hear and obey and respond accordingly. So he loves us because he first loved us and died on the cross for us. We need to be obedient. Now we should fear him out of a reverential fear. We find that in Deuteronomy. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. John 14:15, we long to demonstrate our love to him by obeying him. So there's a lot of things of love. Loving him. And when you truly love somebody, don't you really want to please them? Think of your relationships in natural ways. We can look at that because we are all natural. We're natural people. So when somebody loves me, they will do over and above things to please me. You know, bring me a cinnamon roll. Bring me something good to eat, you know. Take a load off of me or something like that. They just love, they just want to do something. They just want to be there. And sometimes when people love people, sometimes it's good enough just to be what? Be around them. They come around you and they go, I just want to come and I just enjoy our friendship. I enjoy our time together. It's like we can just sit in a room and just have conversations and we're talking similarities of things and there's a commonality of us and there's a thought process that's there and it's because of just love. I just love being around you, you know. That's what I love about my God. I love being around him. Do you? I love being in the room with him. Love being by myself in the outside or in the building here or just walking or in the car or at home or whatever the case is, cutting the grass, you know, whatever it is. Even at your job, you can have time with him there. And he'll be there to say, God would say, I just love you. I just want to be with you. I say, oh, love me some more. Love me some more, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we need to do, if that is what obedience looks like, how is your obedience? How are you doing in that area of obedience with God? You know. You already know. Your mind's already flipping that way. Oh, obedience. Gosh. He asked me to do this. I didn't do it. He instructed me to do this or that or to give this or to take that or to volunteer for that, whatever the case is. All of a sudden, and it may not just be for church stuff. It could be just somebody on the street, somebody in your job, somebody in your home, whatever the case is. All of a sudden, it's just like, oh, I failed. How is that obedience look in your life? It is possible for us as believers to carry around a burden of disobedience. So, you know, when I started this all out a few weeks ago, when I gave that definition of what obedience is, of course, the next thing it had to be was, what is this? Disobedience. Disobedience is refusing, neglecting to obey, rebellion, insubordination. Wow. None of those words sound good if you were being called into your boss's office and they wanted to talk to you or give you a review and say, well, you're doing your job okay, but there's some things I got to talk to you about. You're being insubordinate. You're rebelling. You know, you're not completing what we've asked you to do. You know, all these things. You're being disobedient. So obedience, you know, doing, following, being compliant, disobedience, rebellious, neglecting, refusing. In my walk, Early on, there's probably a lot of areas that I refused things with God. And that area has gotten better to the point of less refusing and more obeying. But here again, just like that song, he's looking more than a song. You know, he's looking into our hearts. He's seeing what is in your heart. Is there still some disobedience? Is there still some rebellion? Is there still some non-compliance to the things that he has wanted you to do? And only you can answer that to yourself and allow the Spirit of God to really bring that up. That's why I said, Lord, talking in that song, show me my heart and where I'm missing it with you. Because, you know, sometimes we're so close to the battle. Have you ever heard that? You're so close. It's like you can't see the forest or because of the trees or something like that. Yeah, you can't see the forest because of the trees. Because you're so close to a tree that I can't see all the stuff. Sometimes we get that way in our life. We get so close to the thing that is keeping us from God that we don't realize that it's truly keeping us from God because we get so fixated on it. We get so time consumed into it that all of a sudden it begins to consume our time, our thoughts, our energies. And as we get to that point, there's nothing left for God. Once you get your thoughts on Him, on, you know, what does it say? Set your thoughts on Him. Well, once we get our thoughts off of Him onto this, no longer am I thinking of Him. Once I put my energies to this and no longer energies to Him, I'm beginning to fall away to what my eye and what I'm focusing on in this natural stuff that I'm dealing with. And so I've got to make a conscious effort to say, Lord, search my heart. Show me where I am missing it with you, because I'm sure I'm missing it. I know some of you people probably think I'm pretty perfect. Okay? Anybody? Do I hear an amen? Well, that doesn't. Well, doesn't when somebody says something you agree with, don't the whole argument say, amen? I can see that didn't go very far. Well, really, I'm honored, because I don't want you to put me on a pedestal. Because I'm not. So we're all working through these things. In Proverbs 28:9, it talks about if we turn a deaf ear to the word of God. Proverbs 28:9, it says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an admonition, which would be basically hateful or revolting to God. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, following God's laws, following what God, you know, follow. Well, you want to follow the commandments? Yes, we need to follow those. We follow the new law of, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, you know. Love is the new commandment, those things. Isn't that interesting that probably the one thing we're seeing a major shift in our society is a lack of love. I don't see love in riots. I don't see love in lawlessness and destruction and burning down and tearing up and harming other people. Then we look around at that and we look at our society and we go, oh my gosh, we have lost so much of love for your fellow man. And that's what Jesus said, the greatest commandment is what? Love yourself like you love your neighbor, you know, like you love thy neighbor like yourself. We have missed that whole thing of something that we would think that can't we just get something right? One thing right. Love. It ain't easy, is it? Because sometimes you've got to love the loveless. You got to love the one that did you wrong. Well, how many times do I have to forgive them? One time is good enough for Tim. But I think God's got a different version of that. 7 times 70, what? I can't do it. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. And God will tell me, I know you can't do it, Tim. You can't do nothing on your own power that will sustain things and keep things going. The things that you do are very limited, very temporal, and they will not last. So God would say, I'm glad you recognize that you can't do that on your own. You can't love that person that wronged you because I want to get even, but I can't. I says, I got to forgive them 7 times 70 for that same offense. That's too long. I'll forget. Sometimes you get so long into it, you forget what you're even. Have you ever gotten into an argument, and by the time you get to the end of it, you can't remember what started it? Like, what? What? Now what? What were we arguing about? Because it just goes. I mean, we can't even keep our little mind on that. So to love or to forgive 7 times 70, yeah, I just like, oh, are you keeping count? There's probably some good solid Christians out there going, 7 times 70, 490. Okay, and there's some people probably get a tablet out there. Could there be a Christian out there going, okay, I've forgiven this person? You got a little dog scratch or chicken scratch or whatever, those little marks. And you're getting close to 439. Or what is that? No, 7 times 7, 490. 49. Wait. 7 times 70, right? This is 7 times 70. 7 times 7 is 49. 490. So when they get to 489, I'm going, you only got one more time. And after that, I'm coming down on you big time. And it gets that close to it, you're almost agging them on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Just get me burnt one more time on that same thing, because I'm ready to go. But see, when I go, God, I can't do that. How many here tell God that you can't do something? That's what he wants you to say. He wants you to say that so that you can hear yourself say, I can't do that. Because he says, then when you can't do that, that's when I come in and I can do that. And I can be in you and through you and do all these things. Once you recognize that you can't do it. As much as you think you can, you can't. But when we look at this and we pray and we're trying to figure out, and again, I'll use this in a way of just monitoring yourself. This is not taken in any current situations unless the Spirit of God just puts this into your heart by the Spirit. Pew, you know? But when we have prayers and things, because it says there in Proverbs 28:9, even his prayer is an admonition, hateful and revolting to God. One who turns his ear away from him. So we've got to be cautious about that. We've got to hear God. We've got to respond to God. So sometimes, very often, we look at this is that the lack of our obedience frustrates our prayer life. What has God asked you to do that you're saying? And I'm going to tell you, don't try to bargain with God. I've done that. Am I the only one here that's bargained with God? Okay, Lord, I'm the chief sinner among them. I'll take that stand. We bargain with God if we can just put our chips on the table to say, here's what I'll put in. And God said, here's what, now here we are gambling again. But we put our things on the table and we go, but I want to do this first and then I'll do that. But see, then we're starting to bargain. We're starting to kind of manipulate God. God has something for you to do. I'd be glad to do it, but just not now. Anybody been there? Well, God, just wait. Let me get this done, and then I'll come, and I'll do that, and everything will be good. But God will say, no. I've put this here now, and this is for you to do now, if you're going to obey me. But yet, God, but God, it's going to interfere with this. It's going to take away from that. It's going to take away this from me, and I can't accomplish this, and this, and that, and that. And I think God would say to Tim, so what? So what? Do you not want to serve me? Do you not want to receive my blessings I have for you that are just waiting for me to just pour them out upon you? If you just hear me, be obedient, follow what I'm asking, do what I say, don't do what I say, whatever, you know, what I say, don't do, you know, listen to him and be obedient. And these blessings and these things begin to flow and continue to work in your life. But when we get into that level of disobedience, disobedience sounds like, oh, I'm being disobedient. But then when I begin to look at being rebellious, wow, rebellious. Ooh, I hate that when I hear about that about a person, don't you? Ooh, they're just being rebellious. Sounds so bad. Well, it is bad. Because they're not listening and obeying and following what's being asked. 1 John 2:5-6. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So it brings refreshment, renewing our energy, fresh vision. Our hearts are once again united with God as we received Christ. But then as we begin to obey His Word, we love God more. We've begun to find out our love in Him and His love in us is more complete. Nothing like being complete. Amen? To be complete in whatever it is. To be complete. Analogy of cooking. Think of things as being complete. But I know with cooking, there's a lot of things that kind of goes into a recipe. And I love making pancakes. And I love putting extra things into my pancakes. My grandkids love my pancakes. They come over and say, "I want Grandpa's pancakes." I think it's just because I put so much love in them, really. It's not just the chocolate chips. It's my love. That's what I think. But anyway, I doctor up the whole thing. And at the end result, there's a difference in that I make because of the additional ingredients I put into them. Now, I could take that little Bisquick thing, put some eggs, put some milk, stir it up, do whatever, and then make a pancake, and it'd be a pancake. You can put them side by side. Pancake, basic. Pancake, added ingredients. And if the chocolate chips don't come through all the way, or whatever the case is, I mean, you could look at both of them and say, well, they're pretty well identical. But it's not until you get into the taste of it to say, man, there's something different here. And see, with God putting all of His ingredients in us, He wants us to have a full, rich batter. He wants us to have a full, rich life. But because of disobedience and my love, and I don't have the love like He loved me, and all these things, He cannot bless rebellion. Do you believe that? God will not bless rebellion and people not doing what He's asked. He just can't, because if that's the case, why have laws? Why have stipulations? Why have the Bible? The Bible wouldn't have to be all these books and all these pages. It could just be one sheet of paper that says, God will love me no matter what. Do all what you want. I'll just whatever. And it's like, hey, that's the kind of God I want. But our God requires much more. My God requires much more than a song. He's looking at our hearts. He's looking the heart like that of the bowl of the batter that you put things in. Eggs, oil, a little bit of vanilla, good. Cinnamon, good. Put a little bit of crushed walnuts or pecans in it, good. You know, these are all things that embellish something that's just very basic. But when you begin to taste it, there's something totally different, and it's much more like, boy, you put a lot into this. See, God has put a lot into us. And we miss so much and we leave so much on the table of what He's put in us because we don't want to be obedient. We want to wait. We want to do it on our time schedule. We don't think we have the capabilities. We don't have the finance. We don't have the education. We don't have the equipment or the building or whatever it is as far as doing outreaches and things like that, you know. Doug, it's good to see you again, brother. But, you know, that ministry that he's got, there's a lot of needs there. And going out and filming, and it's just started. I don't know, but just doing what you've been doing statewide, it's been how many years just getting to? This is like a very beginning birth of a ministry, and what God has asked Doug to do in obedience. And when he shared a couple weeks back, on the things that he was doing and how God had him working on these things and being obedient. I tell you what, there's a lot of things you'd rather do that you know that you can handle because you can do it with your own abilities than to sit there and say, God, you want me to do this, but I don't have the equipment. I don't have the vehicle. I don't have the connections that you think, you know, until you get into that. And then all of a sudden, these things just go boom, boom, boom. Boom. And I think you've had some boom, boom, boomps in your thing, right? Not bumps, but boomps. Bumps are... But God dropping things in for those things that He's asked Him to do. So, you know, as we get our lives in tune to Him, and as we become obedient, let Him, as He's put so much in, let's begin to let it all stir together in our hearts to where we become that obedient person. To complete the mission that He has for us to complete. Remember last week where I talked about that timeline? Boom, Tim's barn. Boom, Tim's been reborn, received Christ. Tim accepted the call on his life to go serve God and leaving a secular job. Where there's different dots on all of our timelines that God has put on our path. And I'm just wanting to see somewhere down that timeline of mine is reaching that destiny that he has for me. You know what? Now that I think of it, the destiny that he has for me is eternal. It's my heavenly home. I'm not going to reach my destiny here on this earth. This is just coming to me. I'm going to continue to serve and go on this timeline. And there will be incremental flags that are placed. You know, remember we talked about banners and flags, how, you know, you'd plant them and victories in the Old Testament. You'd plant, when you had a victory, going to plant a flag, going to build a tower or build a column of rocks or something. You mark you mark your victories. You mark those areas that God spoke and did something. And so as we go through our timeline in our lives here, you know, he did this in your life. Born again, flag. Turned your life around a little bit and served him in something that he's asked you to do. Flag, victory, won. Something else he's asked you to do. You've done it. You've been obedient. He's promoted you. He's blessed you. He's moved you into that area that he wants. Boom. Another flag. Another pillar of stone. Like the children of Israel when they took those stones out of the river and then planted them on the other side. To do this, to remember what I have done for you. Remember what God has done for you already and that he's got greater things for you to accomplish further on down the line. And you'll probably find that as you go further down the line with him, it's probably going to require just a little bit more. A little bit more of obedience. A little bit more trusting. A little bit more of understanding that I don't know how this is going to work. And even in that time, we'll still come to our natural. Can you believe all the things that God has blessed us with and taken care of and provided and worked in our lives and it was all him, that even in our life down here, when it's something new or something different, it's like, oh Lord, I don't know, you know me. I really don't think I can do this. This is going to be interesting. But how crazy it is that in our natural, we still all of a sudden somehow flip that switch back to like, I don't think I can do this. But then we remember, And I believe God would say to us in a very loving, tender, caring way, well, Tim, don't you remember what I did for you back 10 years ago? Yeah. How about 20 years ago? Yeah. What does my word say about who I am? Well, your word says you are God and you change not. Your word says that you go before me. You're behind me. You're beside me. Tim, what does it say about that battle you're in? Is it your battle? Well, no, God. Now that I think about it, your word says that the battle belongs to the Lord. All we got to do is sing, holy, honor, glory, and I don't know how the words go now, I forgot. Glory and power to you. We just need to recognize him who he is. All honor, all glory. All power. The battle is his. But we get to that level of trust and following that by being obedient to what he's asked of you. You've got to get to that level of obedience to begin to see all glory, all power, all honor, all the battle is his in your life. In the situation around you, whatever's taking place, whatever the enemy throws at you, hallelujah, the Lord is there. You know what? Even before the enemy throws a battle at you, God knew it was going to be there, and he's already planned a way. He's planned a way to escape. He's planned a way to battle it. He's planned the host of the heavenly army, whatever it is. Boom. For like Jesus, when they brought him to the cross, and they said, well, you, and he says, I could call legions out in the garden. I could call legions of angels to come and get me out of this. But I'm willingly, we got to get there because I don't want to lose this. We got to get there. I want to run through like three things here. We're getting, okay. I'm not going to touch upon the scriptures and all this here, but these are some things here, the oughts of a born again, and then I want to finish with this here. The oughts of the born again Christian would be in Luke 18:1, it would say this, men ought to always pray and not faint. We ought to always pray. And not faint. In Acts 5:29, Mean obedience is the priority. We ought to obey God rather than men. We've heard that. So we find this out, that we need to obey God rather than men. And you go and read, that's Acts 5:29, and you read around it, and you find out it's like, you know, and if God has instructed you to do something, man cannot stop it from being accomplished. And you'll find that in Acts as you go through as the disciples and what they're going out and sharing. And it's like, you best just, if man has, is if this is man, let it go and it'll stop. But if it is God, he ain't going to stop it. Right? Being gracious in your speech, let all your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know that ye, that how ye ought to answer every man. Colossians 4:6. He'll give you even how to answer other men. See, when people contact you and talking to you about things, you might go, I don't know how am I going to cover this? How am I going to share this? What am I going to have to say to this? But here again, Colossians 4:6, be gracious in your speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, heeding God's word, as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. As we please God, as things come, as we are honoring him, as we are listening to him, as we are following him, just things begin. God can't help but bless you. He's a blessing God. He's just got them up there waiting for you to just, they're like little, you know, little darts or little something like, okay, Tim, do this. Here's a blessing. Here's another one. Here, oh, you're honoring this. Just allow him just to shower you with those blessings. But you've got to be obedient. You've got to walk accordingly. You've got to listen. You've got to hear. So there's a few more in there, but I don't want to take a whole lot of time in that. I want to go to Romans 5:19. So as we find in the death in Adam and the life in Christ, so we find in 5:19, Romans 5:19, here's a disobedience and obedience showing how it affected things. 5:19 in Romans, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And that's talking of what? Adam's sin. One man brought this in, disobedience. But one man, the new Adam, Jesus, he brought about the righteousness. He brought about by being obedient and accomplishing for all of us to this day, and until he returns again, all of those before us. So when you look at how disobedience can affect a life, how disobedience could affect a race, a civilization, you know, you look at that was really where everything just kind of went like that. Just that disobedience. But then with Christ coming into the picture, dying on the cross, Christ's obedience begins to bring it back us to God of God of reconciliation. In Philippians 2:8, oh, I'm going to start here, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in like the likeness of men, talking about that of Jesus, and being found in appearance as a man, he did what? Humbled himself, became obedient to the point of what? Death. Even the death of the cross. Probably we don't want to talk a whole lot about that, but you know, sometime in the future, wherever that is, your obedience to the things of God, could it cause you your life? We know that's happening because we know in third world countries, we know over in India, in the Middle East, and in Asian nations and things of that nature. You know what? Even probably on the shores of the United States, there's been people murdered. Maybe not in the numbers, but as pastors and different ones in foreign lands, in China, wherever the case might be, just wherever they take a stand for that of Jesus Christ over in Africa. And what's happened? Because of their obedience to the word, being obedient to that of Christ, what did they lose? Their life. Pray that that doesn't come on our shores as strong as it is over in those nations. But as things go, who knows, as things get closer and closer. But obedience can cost the life. It cost Christ his life. But he did it willingly. That's the thing about it, guys, is how he was so willing knowing what was lying before him, knowing the scourging and all that was going to take place. And he could have got out of it like just a snap of his fingers or just raise his hand. Whew, they'd all fall down. And we've seen instances like that, and we've read stories like that to where as God comes into a situation, amen, and you're in a battle or whatever, and your enemy sees something much bigger than you. They see big angels around you, or they see something of the power that we don't even see itself. But the Lord unveiled their eyes like they did in the Old Testament to say, all of those in the hills, ooh, much more than us. We got to get out of here type of a thing. Or he can cause confusion in the enemy's camp to where they have what? They battle themselves, and they kill themselves. I mean, go figure, but that's God. But we want to be obedient to that, and it could cost us our life, but I'm going to say, that's my destiny then. My destiny is home, heaven, you know. I'm not looking to die. I'm not looking at going out of here early. I'm not going to jump up and down and say, hey, shoot me, I'm a Christian. No, but we have to learn to stand on value, stand on his word, be obedient to those things, and it could bring, you know, sometimes we get so upset, it's not costing us our life, but it might cost us two or three friends if we stand on faith of what Christ has done for us or speak of godly things to them. They might say, I don't want nothing to do with you, and you feel like, oh, I've lost a friend, I've lost this, I've lost that because of my stand with you, and we take that to the point. That ain't nothing compared to losing your life for the stand of Christ. And then the last thing in Hebrews 5:8. So far we've found that by one disobedience of man and another man's obedience, things change drastically. Your obedience to the things that God has asked you, you just don't know for sure what that's going to change and how much it's going to change some things. Could cost your life. Don't want to talk a lot about that, but it could happen, you know. If anything would ever happen like that to me, I just want to be able to pray for those that are doing the wrong to me, I guess, you know, or whatever the case is. I hope I can be like some of those disciples and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus said that. Stephen, you know, said those things. So we can get to that level. They're not acting upon their own. And then we find real quick, Hebrews 5:8. Does anybody want to suffer here today? How come there's no raised hands for suffering? We got a sign-up sheet today in our church. This sign-up over here is for blessings and an easy life and all of that. Would you please sign up for that for the church service? This one over here is for those that would like to suffer. We got some things for you to suffer with. Man, the line would be over here, nobody over here. But what does it say in Hebrews 5:8? I'm going to say in 5:5, I'm going to start. So, also, Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have such much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Oh boy, dull of hearing. There's another message somewhere down the road. So as we look at that, faith believes what God says and acts in line with his word. Faith allows the believer to enter the rest into which God has called all of his people. It acknowledges the completed work of salvation while faithfully obeying every instruction from God. So we need to look at this, and we need to look at studying Jesus' life and to make that a model and understanding for potential that of suffering, but also look at his life. Look at Jesus' life for that of learning about obedience. What better teacher than Jesus for obedience? Look at him. Don't look at some of his disciples. I'll never deny you. You know, some of his disciples were like, the cock crowed and then he denied him three times, you know. But yet God, Jesus loved him. Came back into the fold that way. But I'm just saying how obedient that Jesus was in his entire ministry of what God had put him upon this earth to be doing. And if we look at and we say, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a disciple of Jesus, you know. So if we're going to use those verbiages, We need to look at those things and follow that life to the point of possibly death, but to be obedient to what God called his son to do. If I'm following that of Christ in my life, I need to hear what God has asked myself, Tim, to do and be obedient to fulfill those things. And you will not escape it by saying, I don't have the knowledge, the strength, the finances, the ability, the connections, or nothing. You will not be able to out-talk that to God. God will not give you a pass. Well, God, you want me to do that, but I just don't have that knowledge. And God says, well, you know what? Now that I'm checking that, you're right. Why did I choose you for that? That was a mistake. God says, I know that. Duh, you know. I don't have the finances. I know that. God is not telling you to have everything in order and in place to take that step of faith with him, because that's what faith is about. It's stepping out there when you don't have that financial thing set up. Stepping out in faith is not when you don't have the schooling maybe behind you to really know exactly what this or that or whatever the case is that he's asked you to do. But that's what that faith comes into, is I'm willing to step out only because of what God has spoke to me in my spirit, in my heart. And I'm going to tell you, once you get that in your heart and into your being, and you allow it to solidify itself by that of spending time in his word, praying, and a lot of times it's just listening. I question God a lot. God has never told me, Tim, you ask too many questions. He's never said, enough. Enough is enough. Just do it. I've had a lot of questions, and I still question it, and I still ask him a lot of things. But his spirit still speaks to me, and it's in a very, to me anyway, a loving tone, and I can just hear it. And then I end up saying, yeah, you're right, Lord. You did tell me that 2 months ago or last week, or you did show that, or whatever the case is. Thank you, Lord. So as we come to this, enough of that of obedience, I just encourage you, please, 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 be obedient to that of God. We're obedient to our jobs a lot of times. We work the schedule they give us. We're there from when we're supposed to be, 8 to 5, 8 to 5, 8 to 5, whatever the case is. We're obedient to our golf outing every week, that we have an outing with a foursome or whatever, or, you know, a golf outing. I do that every week. I'm obedient to that, you know. I got a card party, I'm obedient to that. I got a coffee clutch, I'm obedient to that. You know, we are people, you are obedient. But for like me, I've got to look at where is that obedience with that of God. And if I can be obedient, I'm going to tell you, if I can take this little thing here and have all of my stuff in my calendar of each day, seeing this, call that person, go there, make sure that's done, send that in, check on that, blah, blah, blah. I've become pretty obedient to this stupid thing. You know, it's trained me well. But it works so fast when you want to meet somebody or change a date. You just go in there, edit it, go to that date and done. I don't have to write. But I'm obedient to look at that and try to follow that schedule to whatever I've got. If I can be obedient to the world's ways, I sure can be obedient to God's ways. The world's ways, they won't even really help me get through these things. They just pile more stuff on me. But I seem to make it fit because I'm obedient to make sure I can do that. But I feel like when God's putting the stuff on me, it's like, okay, enough is enough, God. Don't you know who I am? Yes, God says, and that's why I'm giving it to you. It's for your good. It's to fulfill what I have for you. This ain't nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet, Tim. I have been on that journey already for some years. I have not seen nothing yet with the things what God has planned and in store for me. I'm enjoying the trip, man. I'm enjoying the travel. I am enjoying where we're going. I love it. But there's even something greater down there, and I don't even know what it is yet, but you know why I say that? Because I serve a great and mighty, loving, caring God. And I think you do too, right? And so with that said, why would I not want to be obedient with him and surrender? I surrender all. My precious Jesus, I surrender all. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we think of this time and this word obedience, obedient, it means a lot. It changes a person's life drastically. And for the things that you would have for us, Lord, to do in your kingdom here on this earth, I pray now for all of us to have that obedience within us. That obedience for you will grow in us, in our hearts, in our desires, that when we wake up and when we lay our heads down, when we go wherever, Lord, that we are just saying, Lord, I just want to be following you, Lord. I just want to be obedient to what you've called me to do. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord, that those times, and a lot of it is, Lord, is not my capabilities, my power, my energy, my strength, my ability at all. It's all you working in us. And I thank you now. Touch each heart, each life here today, I pray. Let us become more obedient to the things that you have instructed for each and every one of us to do. That's a fulfillment of your kingdom in our lives as well as upon this place of what we call earth. And let us be able to glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.